I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I think I can make this correlation, Elliot. They have played, for the most part, this decade, for the most part, at a Hall of Fame level.
Yeah.
They've been elite. I mean, this decade, it's been the Eagles and the Chiefs. Last year, we saw the Chiefs nosedive. You guys know my concern that the Eagles this year maybe won't nosedive. Oh, they could nosedive. But even if they don't nosedive, they could be entering the land of ordinary. I know, Elliot, you found something online that indicates that there's thought they still have an exceptional roster. Talk to me, as we are 3 weeks away from training camp, your chance to weigh in not only on Wheeler, but also on the Birds and the expectations at 215-592-9494. Elliot, what are you thinking?
Yeah, so to what you said, 3 weeks from today, they'll be on the practice field at the Jefferson Training Complex, which obviously I'm very excited for. But I think going into this season, maybe there should be more excitement about the team than there is. The number one word I kind of sense with the Eagles this year is like trepidation. Like, people are really concerned about the offense coming off what's being viewed as a disappointing year. But ESPN recently ranked the best rosters in the NFL. And normally, when I see lists like this, I have a good idea of where the Eagles will be. I open it, I start to scroll, thinking I'll have to scroll quite a bit. I didn't have to scroll too far, right? There was one team listed ahead of the Eagles with a better roster in the NFL entering the season. And what's been surprising to me is, and maybe it's because I'm in Philadelphia, but every list I read this offseason, the Eagles are really high on it, right? They have a top five offensive line. They have a top three running back. They have two of the top 10 corners in the NFL, according to ESPN, and the second best roster overall. So I think maybe we are too focused on some of the changes they have made. I think we're maybe viewing them too much as an excuse. And for me, entering this season, my expectations have not changed. I'm not viewing this year about, can Jalen learn the offense, right? Like, will Sean Mannion be a new offensive coordinator? Those are subplots to what the main plot is. The main plot for this team, as long as they have Nick Sirianni as the head coach, Howie Roseman as the GM, and Jalen Hurts as the quarterback, should be compete for a Super Bowl, go to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. We went through stretches with this Eagles franchise, not recently, but long stretches in the franchise overall, when you couldn't say those things, right? When you couldn't go into a year with that as a realistic expectation. When the franchise is operating at the level it is right now, with the defense it has, the players it has, you have to compete for a Super Bowl. The changes in the coaching staff, to me, are not an excuse to take a step back or not take the proper steps forward next year, which is to continue to compete.
So, you know, a lot of people talk about the coaching staff, and with good reason, but I think the bigger thing is roster depletion, as I say it, over now a couple of years. I'll tell you, like, just so for instance, I'm just going to ask you a question. You don't view the Eagles as the same level Super Bowl contender for this upcoming season as you did last year on July 8th, right?
I would say going into last season, they faced tougher things than they do this season. Going into last year, they were defending Super Bowl champion. You know how hard it is to repeat in the NFL? They're not dealing with that this year. Every year, Nick Sirianni is not coming off of going to a Super Bowl, pretty much. He's gone to a Super Bowl. And in Eagles history, when they're coming off a Super Bowl, they never handle it well. They get to enter this year. Now, maybe I'm putting expectations on them, but they get to enter this year with some of the lowest expectations they've had really since 2021, maybe going into 2022. Like, not many people expect them to be great this year. I think we make too much, because we're close to it, about like the safety position. Obviously, losing AJ is a big one, but they should still have a good offense. So, yeah, I've going into this year, I think expectations should still be sky high.
Well, I'll say this. If they have a good offense, they won't still have a good offense. They'll have found a good offense. Because in the last 2 years, the only thing they've had offensively that's been good, either passing or running, is running in 2024.
And that led to a great offense.
In 2024, that led to a pretty good offense.
No, they had a great offense.
I disagree with that.
They were eighth in the league in points, and they scored the most points ever in a playoff run. Yeah. How is that not a great offense?
Well, they played four games, and that's going to help, and they got hot at the end.
Well, they're not the first team to play four games.
No, they're not.
But
for the bulk of the season, they struggled to pass. Last year, they struggled to run. Last year, they struggled to pass. Look, the Eagles obviously have a chance to be great. They have a chance to be elite. My expectation is that they will not be elite. I mean, I just see too many things that are on the ledger. And some of this has to do with coaching, but a lot of it just has to do with players. O-line health. I hope they're better than last year. Obviously, if they are, that'll help a lot. If they're similar or worse than last year, that'll be a disaster. Because last year, the O-line was the biggest step backwards. Prime Saquon, does he exist or not? I don't know. I know he's entering year 9. I know Derrick Henry's an anomaly. I know a lot of running backs entering year 9 aren't as good. I know Saquon in year 8 wasn't as good as year 7. That's a fact, and we all know it. I know that Hurts may struggle in the new offense. I know he struggled last year in the old offense. I know that, the division's gotten better. Quarterback position's gotten better. I know the Giants have a better coach than they used to have. I know Stoutland's not here anymore. I know N'Kobe's not here anymore. I know AJ's not here anymore. I mean, guys, there are reasons to be optimistic. There are things to be excited about. And I am excited that in 3 weeks we get a team out there on a practice field. I am excited that in 2 months we get football games. I am excited that the Eagles have a great opportunity to continue this newfound tradition of being the best team in Philly sports. Like, there's no doubt they have been the best team this decade in Philadelphia sports, and there's no question they may continue that. There's no question they may continue that. They also may suffer the fate of the Kansas City Chiefs, and you hit a point when you're just not that good anymore. Doesn't mean they have to fall off a cliff, but I think there are some people, and Elliot, I think you're one, a little bit ahead in the sand. I mean, I look around, man, and I see causality for concern. A.J. Brown was a great player. He made a hell of a difference. He ain't here.
Yeah, so And
by the way, Goddard was a great player. He is here and no longer is a great player. Saquon was a great player. May still be. Might not be. I mean, I just think there's some people head in the frickin' sand, man.
See, that maybe that would have been a good phrase for yesterday for our side topic, but the head in the sand thing. But to piggyback off that, like, I just think you're viewing everything glass half empty, right? I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I don't think you're crazy to feel that way. But nationally, when you look how people view the roster, who are looking at all 32 teams, we could go through concerns for every single team.
That's true.
You bring up the Chiefs taking a step back last year. Patrick Mahomes got hurt. Like, that's what happened.
Was fairly late. They were meandering before that happened.
I agree that's part of it. And yes, if Jalen gets hurt, they'll be in trouble. But ultimately, when the NFL GM spoke and were pulled by ESPN, the coaches, the GMs, the executives, they said Saquon Barkley was the third best running back in the NFL. Yeah. So I share your concerns about Saquon. I think they're fair. But I think maybe we're so close to it, we're not seeing that other teams would kill to have a running back like Saquon. Other teams would kill to have the offensive talent on the offensive line that the Eagles have. You're right about AJ. The receivers are a concern. But when you have the head coach, quarterback, and defense that this team has, you should be competing for Super Bowls.
Well, clearly the defense has been exceptional and hopefully stays at that level. I do have concerns without N'Kobe, but having Vic Fangio still here is big, and having the talent on the defense is still big. Look, your chance to weigh in, the good, the bad, the in-between on the Birds. Are your expectations the same as they've been? We've generally come accustomed to expecting elite, not just good, and not even necessarily just great. It sounds ridiculous to say just great. We have come to expect elite. Do you still expect elite?
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Is this describe our next guest, who I believe is
A haircut.
Well, he's about to. Elliott Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliott live from the barbershop. What's up, Elliott?
What's up? What's up, man? That song does have me excited for the cut, you know? So I'm excited to get it done.
You pre-gaming for the cut?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I got a big weekend ahead, so, you know, I got to look right.
All right, no, so here's the question. Here's a big question before we get into anything else. Elliott, I'm not sure, you know, first of all, I'm out of the haircut game, so I don't know how often people get them anymore.
You are, yeah.
But for you, because I mean, you obviously, you know, you have nice hair, so you probably take a little more seriously than the average guy. How often do you get your hair cut? And I guess really the question is this the last cut before training camp, or will there be one more?
No, I think you got to get it cut at least once a month. Can't have it too long. Can't have it on your neck. That feels gross. So,
right.
But definitely a cut right before training camp. I mean, as Hugh will tell you, when training camp begins, you want to look good. You want to feel good. It's the start of a grueling month. So I got to make sure I get my cut right before then. And then probably right before the AJ practices, too, because those will be big days.
Oh, yeah, those are going to be big days, Al. No question about that. But Al, I just wanted to, you know, I know you've been busy this morning. And it was brought to my attention by Kyle Quinn. He had this great idea that we were kind of just bantering around a little bit. And the idea is basically that Jesus Luzardo should give up his starting spot in the All-Star game.
This was Kyle's idea?
This was Kyle's idea.
Oh, okay.
I got it from Kyle.
Oh.
And I just kind of took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
Got it from Kyle. And kind of took it and ran with it. Like, Luzardo
second
should give up his spot
tale,
for Zach Wheeler. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Tattletale. You're a tattletale.
Well,
what are you talking about?
Great original thought by Kyle. Good one on that. That was a good take by Kyle. He's always good for those. No, I think he absolutely should give his spot up to Zach Wheeler. He should at least offer. And here's the best thing about the offer. Zach Wheeler is going to say no, right? He's not going to take the spot. So you offer it up. You tell the media you offered it up. What a feel-good story it is. It's the right thing to do. And you still get to be an all-star. So it's a win-win for everybody involved besides Zach.
All right. So I disagreed with Hugh, but I guess I'm disagreeing with you by proxy here. So here's my thing on this, Elliot. In theory, I like what you're saying. I mean, it's a cool thing. But, like, we can't treat Zach Wheeler like he's Rudy. I mean, this is the highest-paid pitcher in baseball. Like, we can't be like, I'm gonna put my jersey down and so you go play. I mean, to me, this is Jesus Luzardo's first All-Star game. To give it up because baseball screwed up with Wheeler, I can't do that.
Yeah, I think you're viewing it the wrong way. I mean, I think Hugh, who obviously in our time knowing him, very generous person, like, not every generous a gesture has to be viewed that way. He's doing a nice thing. It's not embarrassing for Zach Wheeler. We all agree Zach Wheeler deserves the spot. Everyone in that locker room or clubhouse knows he deserves a spot. Imagine the good vibes if he gives his spot up to Zach Wheeler that it would create in that locker room. They're entering the stretch run of the season. They're entering the postseason, you know, play for each other. Like, it would be an outstanding move. It would honestly be one of the nicest gestures and feel-good stories in Philadelphia sports history, right? So if he does that and shows that type of, you know, for his friend, for his teammate, I think it could propel them to the World Series.
And you know what? You know what? And the only reason why, and I understand that it's Jesus's first one, but the only reason why we're asking Jesus is because we know Bryce isn't going to do it.
Why would Bryce do it? He's a worthy All-Star.
But Bryce has been to multiple All-Star games. It's not like it's his first one. And I know this is his first one here in Philly.
Yeah,
but
right.
I think that when you look at where Wheeler is in his career, I think, and again, not putting pressure on anybody.
You are, actually.
But it would be a notable thing to do. It would be a notable thing
to do. Well, I think when you bring up Bryce, I agree. I mean, I think this is a leadership type of move, right? Like, this is somewhere where you want a leader to step up and do it. And so Luzardo just signed a long-term contract with the team. You know, I don't think a leader of the clubhouse yet, but in the lack of leadership from Bryce, I think if Luzardo steps up, that could be a good move.
Well, that was kind of harsh.
Well, I mean, you right down your road. I mean, you two are aligned. It is an interesting idea. All right, Elliot Shore-Parks with us before his haircut coming up in a few minutes here. Elliot, I heard you guys this morning talking about the Eagles roster, and is it still elite? ESPN ranked the rosters, you know, overall talent, and they had the Eagles at number two, only behind the Los Angeles Rams. Elliot, where do you come down on the idea of the team still being that good? Well, elite or not, but like I was surprised when I clicked on and the Eagles were two. I didn't think they'd be 14, but I didn't think they would be two after an offseason where, I mean, let's be real, they lost A.J. Brown, they lost Jalen Phillips, you know, and they didn't acquire a ton of guys that have a ton of excellence in the NFL. Some potential with some of these guys, sure, but not a lot of excellence compared to the guys that they let go, including A.J.
Yeah, so I think July is always a really interesting month because it gives the perspective of national pundits, of, you know, different polls around the league of where the Eagles actually stand. I think during the season, you know, the first few months after free agency, the draft, we can be very, understandably so, locked in on only the Eagles, right? Like talking about the second safety spot, talking about the backup offensive line, talking about the third receiver spot. Like, those things matter for sure. But we're very locked in on those little details. During July, when all the lists come out, that's when you find out that the Eagles are probably better than they've been given credit for over this past few months in the city. When a GM, a poll of GM tells you Saquon's the third best running back in the NFL, when another poll tells you they have two of the top 10 corners in the NFL, and when this list says they have the second best roster in the NFL, we could certainly debate it. Maybe they're three, maybe they're five, like whatever you want to say. But when you have a top five roster in the NFL filled with the talent they have, then you should be expected to go really far. So I think sometimes we view this season too much as just about the offense, right? It's like a learning year. Just see if he can do it. No, they have a Super Bowl winning head coach, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, one of the best rosters in the league. They should be expected to compete for a Super Bowl. And so I think that list gave good perspective of what should be expected.
So I agree with you on this, that we do get all too eagled up, right? And we just focus on the positives or negatives, right? Depending on what it is, on the roster moving forward. Now, one thing that we haven't seen the quarterback list yet, I imagine Jalen will not be a top 10 quarterback. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll be at the back end of the top 10. But I'm guessing Jalen will not be on the executives list of the top 10. Also today, Elliot, the list came out of pass rushers. No Eagles on there. Not even the honorable mentions with Jonathan Grenard, which I thought was a little bit surprising. Does that concern you at all that, like, those are two huge positions, right? Like, we're talking about quarterback and pass rusher. And I think it's a fair guess to say they're going to have no top 10 at it either, the quarterback or pass rushers. Yeah. Pretty huge positions to not have some of the best in the NFL.
So the Jalen thing doesn't concern me because I know they can win with him at quarterback. If they had not won a playoff game or maybe only won one in 4 years, then I think that would be definitely a fair concern, right? But I think ultimately the question with the quarterback is, can you win with him? And they can very obviously win with Jalen. So the quarterback thing doesn't really concern me. As far as the pass rusher, I guess there's, you know, it's a fair point. I would just say the Eagles defense, I don't know if anybody, you know, anybody that makes a list, any caller you talk to, any host would tell you they're concerned about the defense. So I think, you know, the offensive line is a concern. I know they've been ranked pretty high. My own opinion on that would be, you know, I do have concerns there, but no, I don't have concern about the edge rusher or the quarterback.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here a few weeks before training camp. All right, Elliot, let's discuss the LeBron thing as we continue to move through this. It's, I mean, first of all, LeBron week has been a gift here that I did not expect. I mean, it's amazing that we get to do this and have this conversation. I thought these days were over back in 2018. Elliot, I know your opinion on LeBron and wanting him or not, but where are you now on the idea of this happening? It sounds like we're moving a little bit further into the process where it could be down to three teams, the Miami Heat, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Sixers. That's what Shams said yesterday. Where do you come down on your thought that they actually could get him?
So my belief that he will sign with the Sixers has increased over the past, I would say, 48 hours. I don't think he is going to go to Miami. I don't see any benefit of that besides the weather, which, look, is awesome. But I think when it's the final year of your career, that's probably not the top priority. I think it comes down to how good does he think the Cavs roster is, because we always put the Sixers in the camp of, well, this is his best chance to win, and it might be, but it's worth noting the Cavs did go further than the Sixers last year. Like, they were in the conference championship. Now, I know obviously the Sixers have since added Jaylen Brown and that really matters, but he could certainly look at Cleveland and go, I have a chance to win there, and he gets to return home. But I think Bob Myers being on the pod with Rich Paul is very interesting. Like, why would Rich Paul do that? Why would Bob Myers do that? Unless there was a serious chance that he might go to the Sixers. I think the way Bob Myers spoke, you know, at one point he's talking about Joel Embiid and he goes, you know, and if LeBron is here or not, very offhanded, which to me is a little insight into, he really doesn't know if LeBron's coming. So maybe LeBron's decision hasn't been made. So, you know, 2 days ago, I would have said I think it's definitely Cleveland. But the more things that happen, I think there is a chance it will be the Sixers.
Elliot, I'm curious, what's your take on Jalen Brown, the player? It's the last week has been fascinating. I'm so excited he's here because, one, I think he's a really good player. And two, he speaks his mind on everything. He'll live stream every thought he has. So he's going to be an interesting guy for us to just talk about and watch the next few years. What is your thought on the player? Because it feels like, you know, we live in a world here with the Eagles, with Jalen Hurts. He's a very polarizing player because people just don't know how good he is compared to his accolades, right? We debate that every day, basically. Uh-huh. Jalen Brown feels like a similar type of athlete in the NBA to where his career is like, wow. But people in the league, including the Celtics, obviously are like, yeah, maybe not as good as you guys think he is. What do you think about Jalen Brown?
So obviously I've not met Jalen Brown yet, so I can't compare him to this player perfectly. But the more I hear about Jalen Brown, the more I listen to him speak and see the things he does since he's been traded to the Sixers, he he reminds me a lot of Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins was a player that during his time with the Eagles, very outspoken, very strong in the convictions he had, very involved in the community, and was not afraid in the locker room to talk about those type of things, right? So, but I also know from covering Malcolm that he was a leader on that team. He was popular in that locker room, and it did not impact his play on the field. So I think there's no question that Jaylen Brown is going to come into Philadelphia. He will speak his mind. He will have strong opinions on things. He will be in the community. But I saw with Malcolm that that could be a very positive thing, right? So in terms of the off-the-field thing, I don't have any concern about Jaylen Brown. My concern with the trade I can't get out of my head. Why would no other team pay more? Like that's really my only concern. I mean, you could say great, something lucky happened for the Sixers, but lucky things don't often happen for the Sixers. So that would be my concern. But Jaylen Brown, the person, I think will be a positive.
You know, I like that comparison to Malcolm. I mean, obviously you're talking some personality there, but even their careers, like they both won a championship with the team that drafted them. And then that team just let them walk out the door. I mean, one was free agency, one was a trade. And in retrospect, the Saints probably never should have let Malcolm go. And, you know, we'll see if the Celtics feel the same way about Jaylen Brown. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. As always, have a good haircut. And we'll see you soon.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love!
Is this describe our next guest, who I believe is
he got a haircut.
Well, he's about to. Elliot Shore Park, sponsored by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot live from the barbershop. What's up, Elliot?
What's up? What's up, man? That song does have me excited for the cut, you know. So I'm excited to get it done.
You pregaming for the cut?
I like that. Pregaming.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I got a big weekend ahead, so you know I got to look right.
All right. No, so here's the question. Here's a big question before we get into anything else, Elliot. I'm not sure. You know, first of all, I'm out of the haircut game, so I don't know how often people get them anymore.
You are, yeah.
But for you, because I mean, you obviously, you know, you have nice hair, so you probably take a little more seriously than the average guy. How often do you get your hair cut? And I guess really the question is this the last cut before training camp, or will there be one more?
No, I think you got to get a cut at least once a month. Can't have it too long. Can't have it on your neck. That feels gross. So,
right.
But definitely a cut right before training camp. I mean, as Hugh will tell you, when training camp begins, you want to look good. You want to feel good. It's the start of a grueling month. So I got to make sure I get my cut right before then. And then probably right before the AJ practices too, because those will be big days.
Oh, yeah, those are going to be big days, L. No question about that. But L, I just wanted to, you know, I know you've been busy this morning. And it was brought to my attention by Kyle Quinn. He had this great idea that we were kind of just bantering around a little bit. And the idea is basically that Jesus Luzardo should give up his starting spot in the All-Star game.
This was Kyle's idea?
Yeah, this was Kyle's idea.
Oh, okay.
I got it from Kyle.
Oh.
And I just kind of took it and ran with it.
Yeah.
Got it from Kyle. And Like, Luzardo
second
should give up his spot
for
Zach Wheeler. Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Tattletale. You're a tattletale.
What are you talking about?
Great original thought by Kyle. Good one on that. That was a good take by Kyle. He's always good for those. No, I think he absolutely should give his spot up to Zach Wheeler. He should at least offer. And here's the best thing about the offer. Zach Wheeler is going to say no, right? He's not going to take the spot. So you offer it up. You tell the media you offered it up. What a feel-good story it is. It's the right thing to do. And you still get to be an all-star. So it's a win-win for everybody involved besides Zach.
All right. So I disagreed with Hugh, but I guess I'm disagreeing with you by proxy here. So here's my thing on this, Elliot. In theory, I like what you're saying. I mean, it's a cool thing. But, like, we can't treat Zach Wheeler like he's Rudy. I mean, this is the highest paid pitcher in baseball. Like, we can't be like, I'm gonna put my jersey down and so you go play. I mean, to me, this is Jesus Luzardo's first All-Star game. To give it up because baseball screwed up with Wheeler, I can't do that.
Yeah, I think you're viewing it the wrong way. I mean, I think Hugh, who obviously in our time knowing him, very generous person, like, not every generous a gesture has to be viewed that way. He's doing a nice thing. It's not embarrassing for Zach Wheeler. We all agree Zach Wheeler deserves the spot. Everyone in that locker room or clubhouse knows he deserves a spot. Imagine the good vibes if he gives his spot up to Zach Wheeler, that it would create in that locker room. They're entering the stretch run of the season. They're entering the postseason, you know, play for each other. Like, it would be an outstanding move. It would honestly be one of the nicest gestures and feel-good stories in Philadelphia sports history, right? So if he does that and shows that type of, you know, for his friend, for his teammate, I think it could propel them to the World Series.
And you know what? You know what? And the only reason why, and I understand that it's Jesus's first one, but the only reason why we're asking Jesus is because we know Bryce isn't going to do it.
Why would Bryce do it? He's a worthy All-Star.
But Bryce has been to multiple All-Star games. It's not like it's his first one. And I know this is his first one here in Philly.
Yeah,
but
right.
I think that when you look at where Wheeler is in his career, I think, and again, not putting pressure on anybody.
You are, actually.
But it would be a notable thing to do. It would be a notable thing
to do. Well, I think when you bring up Bryce, I agree. I mean, I think this is a leadership type of move, right? Like, this is somewhere where you want a leader to step up and do it. And so Lizardo just signed a long-term contract with the team. I don't think a leader of the clubhouse yet, but in the lack of leadership from Bryce, I think if Lizardo steps up, that could be a good move.
Well, that was kind of harsh.
Well, I mean, you right down your road. I mean, you two are aligned. It is an interesting idea. All right, Elliot Shore-Parks with us before his haircut coming up in a few minutes here. Elliot, I heard you guys this morning talking about the Eagles roster, and is it still elite? ESPN ranked the rosters, you know, overall talent, and they had the Eagles at number two, only behind the Los Angeles Rams. Elliot, where do you come down on the idea of the team still being that good? Well, elite or not, but like I was surprised when I clicked on and the Eagles were two. I didn't think they'd be 14, but I didn't think they would be two after an offseason where, I mean, let's be real, they lost A.J. Brown, they lost Jalen Phillips, and they didn't acquire a ton of guys that have a ton of excellence in the NFL. Some potential with some of these guys, sure, but not a lot of excellence compared to the guys that they let go, including A.J.
Yeah, so I think July is always a really interesting month because it gives the perspective of national pundits, of, you know, different polls around the league of where the Eagles actually stand. I think during the season, you know, the first few months after free agency, the draft, we can be very, understandably so, locked in on only the Eagles, right? Like talking about the second safety spot, talking about the backup offensive line, talking about the third receiver spot. Like, those things matter for sure. But we're very locked in on those little details. During July, when all the lists come out, that's when you find out that the Eagles are probably better than they've been given credit for over this past few months in the city. When a GM, a poll of GM tells you Saquon's the third best running back in the NFL. When another poll tells you they have two of the top 10 corners in the NFL. And when this list says they have the second best roster in the NFL, we could certainly debate it. Maybe they're three, maybe they're five, like whatever you want to say. But when you have a top five roster in the NFL filled with the talent they have, then you should be expected to go really far. So I think sometimes we view this season too much as just about the offense, right? It's like a learning year. Just see if he can do it. No, they have a Super Bowl winning head coach, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, one of the best rosters in the league. They should be expected to compete for a Super Bowl. And so I think that list gave good perspective of what should be expected.
So I agree with you on this, that we do get all too eagled up, right? And we just focus on the positives or negatives, right? Depending on what it is, on the roster moving forward. Now, one thing that we haven't seen the quarterback list yet, I imagine Jalen will not be a top 10 quarterback. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll be at the back end of the top 10. But I'm guessing Jalen will not be on the executives list of the top 10. Also today, Elliot, the list came out of pass rushers. No Eagles on there. Not even the honorable mentions with Jonathan Grenard, which I thought was a little bit surprising. Does that concern you at all that, like, those are two huge positions, right? Like, we're talking about quarterback and pass rusher. And I think it's a fair guess to say they're going to have no top 10 at either, the quarterback or pass rusher. Pretty huge positions to not have some of the best in the NFL.
So the Jalen thing doesn't concern me because I know they can win with him at quarterback. If they had not won a playoff game or maybe only won one in 4 years, then I think that would be definitely a fair concern, right? But I think ultimately the question with the quarterback is, can you win with them? And they can very obviously win with Jalen. So the quarterback thing doesn't really concern me. As far as the pass rusher, I guess there's, you know, it's a fair point. I would just say the Eagles defense, I don't know if anybody, you know, anybody that makes a list, any caller you talk to, any host would tell you they're concerned about the defense. So I think, you know, the offensive line is a concern. I know they've been ranked pretty high. My own opinion on that would be, you know, I do have concerns there, but no, I don't have concern about the edge rusher or the quarterback.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here a few weeks before training camp. All right, Elliot, let's discuss the LeBron thing as we continue to move through this. First of all, LeBron week has been a gift here that I did not expect. I mean, it's amazing that we get to do this and have this conversation. I thought these days were over back in 2018. Elliot, I know your opinion on LeBron and wanting him or not, but where are you now on the idea of this happening? It sounds like we're moving a little bit further into the process where it could be down to three teams, the Miami Heat, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Sixers. That's what Shams said yesterday. Where do you come down on your thought that they actually could get him?
So my belief that he will sign with the Sixers has increased over the past, I would say, 48 hours. I don't think he is going to go to Miami. I don't see any benefit of that besides the weather, which, look, is awesome. But I think when it's the final year of your career, that's probably not the top priority. I think it comes down to how good does he think the Cavs roster is, because we always put the Sixers in the camp of, well, this is his best chance to win, and it might be, but it's worth noting the Cavs did go further than the Sixers last year. Like, they were in the conference championship. Now, I know obviously the Sixers have since added Jaylen Brown and that really matters, but he could certainly look at Cleveland and go, I have a chance to win there, and he gets to return home. But I think Bob Myers being on the pod with Rich Paul is very interesting. Like, why would Rich Paul do that? Why would Bob Myers do that? Unless there was a serious chance that he might go to the Sixers. I think the way Bob Myers spoke, you know, at one point he's talking about Joel Embiid and he goes, you know, and if LeBron is here or not, very offhanded, which to me is a little insight into, he really doesn't know if LeBron's coming. So maybe LeBron's decision hasn't been made. So, you know, 2 days ago, I would have said I think it's definitely Cleveland. But the more things that happen, I think there is a chance it will be the Sixers.
Elliot, I'm curious, what's your take on Jaylen Brown, the player? It's the last week has been fascinating. I'm so excited he's here because, one, I think he's a really good player. And two, he speaks his mind on everything. He'll live stream every thought he has. So he's going to be an interesting guy for us to just talk about and watch the next few years. What is your thought on the player? Because it feels like, you know, we live in a world here with the Eagles, with Jalen Hurts. He's a very polarizing player because people just don't know how good he is compared to his accolades, right? We debate that every day, basically. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown feels like a similar type of athlete in the NBA to where his career is like, wow. But people in the league, including the Celtics, obviously are like, yeah, maybe not as good as you guys think he is. What do you think about Jaylen Brown?
So obviously I've not met Jaylen Brown yet, so I can't compare him to this player perfectly. But the more I hear about Jaylen Brown, the more I listen to him speak and see the things he does since he's been traded to the Sixers, he reminds me a lot of Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins was a player that during his time with the Eagles, very outspoken, very strong in the convictions he had, very involved in the community, and was not afraid in the locker room to talk about those type of things, right? So, but I also know from covering Malcolm that he was a leader on that team. He was popular in that locker room, and it did not impact his play on the field. So I think there's no question that Jaylen Brown is going to come into Philadelphia. He will speak his mind. He will have strong opinions on things. He will be in the community. But I saw with Malcolm that could be a very positive thing, right? So in terms of the off-the-field thing, I don't have any concern about Jaylen Brown. My concern with the trade I can't get out of my head. Why would no other team pay more? Like, that's really my only concern. I mean, you could say great, something lucky happened for the Sixers, but lucky things don't often happen for the Sixers. So that would be my concern. But Jaylen Brown, the person, I think will be a positive.
You know, I like that comparison to Malcolm. I mean, obviously you're talking some personality there, but even their careers, like they both won a championship with the team that drafted them. And then that team just let them walk out the door. I mean, one was free agency, one was a trade. And in retrospect, the Saints probably never should have let Malcolm go. And, you know, we'll see if the Celtics feel the same way about Jaylen Brown. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. As always, have a good haircut. And we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to the best of the Eagles on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.